step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cups. Here's to this moment, it will never happen again.
This is Offstage and On the Air, performance number 764. My name, as it is on this Wednesday, is Lisa Sheps. I'm joined today and today only by my lively and lovely co-host, Miss Nicole Shiro.
Hello.
You are listening to us on KOOP HD1 HD3 Hornsby. This show, today only, is streaming live at KOOP.org. Hello, Carol Lee.
The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cup. Step right up. Feast your eyes on the wonders of this world. Oh, yeah.
What's that?
Frogs.
The river is full of them.
Ignore them. They'll just try to spoil everything.
What do you think it is? Mice?
Well, dummy, think.
It is Wednesday, March 20th, 2024. On the show today, on World Frog Day, we have Jarrett Productions and their show, Home, I'm Darling. And later we'll be talking to Leela Productions and their show, Anklets in the Boardroom. And of course, we'll have lively discussions of the world of theater and frogs in Austin, Chicago, New York, Milwaukee, and Points West. Stick with us. Frogs. Ribbit, ribbit, ribbit. So,
ribbit.
Hello, Nicole.
Hello, Lisa.
How are you? Welcome back.
Well, I was here last week.
I know you were.
I was here five. I only missed.
I know you missed one show, but you know what? One show without you is like an eternity.
Oh, thank you.
Exactly. Well, welcome to this March 20th.
I know.
Yeah.
It's getting close. Here we go. My mother's birthday's around the corner. It kicks off all the birthday season in our family.
The BS season.
Smorgasbords of birthdays. It all starts happening.
Yep. Well, let's introduce to the folks that are with us here in the studio.
We do have some folks. I have to say, I know the people on the air can't see or what I'm saying, but that's a great color on you today.
Thank you. This is a top I purchased at Costco.
And while we were just talking about Costco, it's fantastico.
I know. Today's show is brought to you by Costco.
It's not quite burnt orange, but yet it has to. It's a really great color on you.
You will not find me wearing burnt orange. No.
No
offense, Will Douglas.
But if you needed to, you could pull that off as a backup and it would work.
There we go. Mm-hmm. Speaking of Will Douglas, welcome Will Douglas.
Hello, hello.
Hello, hello. And we have Martina Olhauser.
Hello.
Who was here, I'm told, years ago.
So many years ago.
Yeah, I have a terrible memory. And veteran of the show, Toby Miner.
Hello, hello.
Hello, how are you?
I'm doing great.
Good. Well, I want to thank Kim Simpson for
always
a very pleasant international folk bazaar. I have to say that I had to change our opening song as I drove in and I heard that it was World Frog Day.
He educated us today, and he's always educating us with some fantastic.
He had all those frog songs, and he had the song from the Paper Moonshiners, who live in my neighborhood.
Oh, really?
Yep.
That's fantastic.
So, so it was really good. And then I also had, I thought I shared a common thing with him when he said that he had an issue with frogs.
What?
And turns out his issue is he's just got a lot of frog songs.
Oh.
My issue is I have frogs that live outside my window and they keep me up in the summer.
They like
and I
to
don't
talk.
Like them at all.
They like to talk.
They're very, very funny. So that piece of music was, do you recognize it? Anybody? Did anybody recognize that?
No.
Yeah. Martina, thank you for speaking up because at first you shook your head, which doesn't work on the radio. That is The Frogs.
That was going to be my guess.
From the show, The Frogs.
Yeah.
The song is The Frogs, and it was written by...
a frog.
The Frog.
The Frog.
Otherwise known as Stephen Sondheim.
Yeah.
I've never seen... I know very little about The Frogs, but I don't believe it did well. And I was trying to remember, did it ever go to Broadway? Anybody?
I don't remember.
I don't think so. I think it did one of those like limited little, we'll do a run. You know what? I'll... I'll get our investigative team on that one, Lisa, and get back to us.
Let's call into the home office and see if they can figure that
out.
Anyway, that was from the frogs. I had to do a quick change up on my way in here when I learned it was World Frog Day. What I was going to be playing was something from Merrily We Roll Along, because Merrily We Roll Along recouped their initial investment.
Isn't that
crazy? Wow.
Crazy, crazy, crazy.
It's crazy. So does anybody want to guess how much they were capitalized at?
No clue.
Okay.
I have no idea.
It's a Broadway show, so you know it's got to be more than like $10,000.
I'm going to guess it's more than $10,000.
It's $12 million it capitalized at. And they opened back in September of 2023. So that's actually relatively quick.
It did very quick. That was the first thing I went is like, ooh, that was quick.
Yep. So now is starting the crowded season of openings. We have so many openings in the next few months. That, to be specific, there are 18 scheduled in March and April, which we're going to talk about later on. We're going to have a later conversation.
Later on today.
But first, we're going to talk about our first opening, which happened last week, which was not a friend of the people, but an enemy of the people.
Yes. Dun, dun, yes. Dun, dun. Look at how witty you are, Lisa.
That Henrik Ibsen classic, that. Enemy of the People, which I did not know a lot about. And I have to admit, and I guess listeners to this show know how little I know of the classics and how ignorant I am of the classics. But there you go.
I would disagree with that. I would say maybe some classics.
And I'm going to just say, no, I admit to it. No, I'm just going to admit to it.
You have a very good knowledge of stuff, Lisa.
Anyway, the Did They Like It aggregate had 16 reviews, 12 of which were positive, 4 of which were meh. I'm not going to say middle. I'm not going to say mixed anymore. I'm going to say meh. Yeah. And 0 negative. Nice. Jesse Green made it a critic's pick.
He's been doing that a lot lately. He's been feeling good, huh?
So you probably remember this, Nicole, when it first appeared. It had a different name. It was called Unfolkenfiend.
Oh, no.
Unfolkenfiend.
I knew that.
Back in 1883.
It was not Das Musical.
It was not. It was Das Straight Play. and Sam Gold directed it, and it had Succession star Jeremy Strong and the Sopranos star Michael Imperioli.
Yep. Oh, yep.
Started it, and they got very good notices.
Yes, they did.
Across the board. Like
dun,
this.
Dun, dun. Nice. Dun, you're dun, doing dun. Like the showcase showdown. This is what you're receiving.
Yep. And I must say that the lighting, according to Jesse Green, was superb and varied by Isabella Bird.
Okay, so it must have been really good because he doesn't always bring up the lighting. And I love that because you should bring up all the elements if you ask me.
And here's an interesting thing. This doesn't really have to do specifically to do with this song, but I'm finding that there is a lot of scenery designers that are using a group rather than a person.
And there has been some collectives and groups lately. Yes. Yep. Who is this group?
This is a design collective called Dots.
Oh, I kind of like that one.
Dots.
I like that.
Yes. Hello, I'm with Dots.
What do you
doing? I'm going to design this set.
I'm Dots.
Anyway, he liked the show. Michael Imperioli and Jeremy Strong got great reviews.
They're
we all
both pretty talented
watchers?
Actors? Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. Did you like this last season that everybody loved?
Of course.
Hated it. Okay, but we're not here to talk
See,
about
but
it.
I
hated it.
I don't watch the Succession, and I know the Jeremy Irons from other stuff. And
well, not Jeremy Irons. Jeremy Strong.
Oh, Jeremy Strong.
Yeah.
Yeah, I still know who
Iron
he is, though.
Strong, though.
Iron is strong. That's probably why it came out of my mouth that way.
Didn't like Jeremy Strong either in Succession.
Even though
but
I have the picture of his
loves
face.
Him, yeah. Oh, well. Jeremy Irons, very good actor.
He is a very good actor.
A strong actor, one might say.
He is a strong actor. Wouldn't it be great if
they just
did
keep
something
going with
together?
Just
so,
yes, they really
Who do
have
you
it.
Have? Iron and strong. Strong and iron.
So the interesting, this review was really kind of a non-review. He did like it, but he didn't say much about it. But he happened to be there the night that there was a group of protesters that came on. So an interesting thing about Enemy of the People, and it's about corporate greed, if you will. And
what's that, Lisa?
I don't know. But interestingly enough, it's about I think something that's going to poison the water supply or something. I forgot exactly what it was.
Bacteria, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
Something. And initially, everybody is in favor, and this one guy starts to look at it and starts speaking out against it. And it becomes it's really about what we're doing, what we're talking about today with regards to all the stuff that's happening with the climate. So this was a group called, let's see if I have the name of it. Don't have the name of it. But they
were a group.
Yes, but they were going to do a protest during the show, which they did. They decided to do it on a press night when there was a lot of press, which happens on press night.
I hope so.
Oddly.
But it happens in a point in the play where the fourth wall is sort of broken down, and there are actors spattered around the audience, and they're making – and so they start calling out. So the actors Jeremy Strong in specific started engaging in a good way and in character. Now, we've talked about this a lot on this show and how much I think it's unprofessional and wrong for people like our good friend Patti LuPone to break character and yell at the audience.
Me too.
I think it's wrong. I do. I'm very strongly opinionated. But in this case, it kind of worked and is okay.
Yeah.
But
FYI, Patti LuPone's in Texas this week.
Oh, good.
Yeah,
okay.
Just letting you.
She called me. She's staying at my house. Let me read this quote from Jesse Green's review.
So many
quote,
names.
Their timing, just after the pause between acts that include a surprise pop-up activation on stage, was exquisite. As part of Gold's concept, some members of the audience who were already milling about the set remained to attend the town meeting that followed. Because the house lights were deliberately left on to emphasize the mix of cast and audience, as well as the interpretation of the past and present, fiction and reality, I was certain the protest that immediately ensued was part of the show. Certainly after the protesters' costumes, statement t-shirts, and catchphrases, "No theater on a dead planet," the cast ad-libs in response were also on point. Still in character, Strong made more than once nodded approval, saying things like, "Let the man speak." David Patrick Kelly, one of the antagonists, shouted, "Write your own play." if this had really been devised by Gold and Herzog, it would have been brilliant, completing the linkage of the play's concerns to ours and implicating us, fairly or not, as part of the problem being dramatized on stage. I think that was pretty cool.
That is interesting. Yeah. I like the way
the whole
written.
Story is cool.
I don't normally condone such acts, but this time I'm
sometimes there's a place.
Sometimes it works.
Sometimes there's a moment.
Other critics for Enemy of the People, or as I like to call it, stand by. I call it Infolkenfiend.
Infolkenfiend.
Bless you.
Broadway News. Brittany Samuels said, Jeremy Strong is completely believable as Stockman. He is clear-spoken, not like me, and morally upright, even when the townspeople are enraged by the financial threat this contamination poses. Beat him down, Strong is a standout. Greg Evans of Deadline said, a taut and exacting directed production. Sam Gold's An Enemy of the People is one of the best play revivals of the current season to date. Adam Feldman of Time Out New York said, focus so intently and mournfully on the underlying issue of contamination, both of the environment and of public discourse, this version of the play is a plea to the audience. And finally, Vulture's Sarah Holdren says, their two leads also a real asset here, and not for their famous names. As the brothers locking horns in the play's center, the principal Dr. Thomas Stockman and the political animal mayor Pete Stockman, Jeremy Strong and Michael Imperioli both bring a vigorous contemporary effect to the material.
Nice. Ooh.
Or as I like to call it, the material.
The material.
So that was Enemy of the People.
I got some information on the frog, and it's actually kind of interesting.
All right, let's back up and talk about frogs.
Frogs.
Just quickly. So it is a Stephen Sondheim and Bert Chev Love musical that
was originally written
and directed in a performed in Yale University's gymnasium swimming pool in 1974.
I think I knew that. Yeah.
So then it was produced on Broadway in 2004.
Oh my! We were on the air. Oh no, we weren't.
Never mind. A book revised by Nathan Lane.
Oh, interesting.
Wow. Yeah, that's why I'm like, wait, we got to come back and visit. And then the score was expanded by Sondheim. And then most recently had a London revival in the West End in 2017.
Yeah,
I think I remember that.
Yeah.
So, and in between the Yale in 74 and Broadway in 2004, they did it one more time in Chicago working on some stuff. But I don't know. That was just fascinating enough that I was like, we were all very wrong. And that was some very interesting information on World Frog Day.
I love that.
So. Anytime we can read up Nathan Lane is a good.
True.
Yes.
I will join you on that.
So. Thank you to our research department.
Yes, thank you. We'll have
to. This breaking news here. We'll have to give them
a raise. We'll have to give them a raise. Next time we're at the board meeting, we'll do that. We also had another opening just recently, a couple nights ago, called The Notebook. Are people fans of the movie?
The Notebook. I've never seen it.
You want to know what? Me too. I've watched it like five or ten minutes, and I just can't get into it.
It was fine.
What?
I think it's beautiful.
Okay.
I love that people
are. We're shutting this down.
I love that people are affected by it and love it the way they do.
I love people in the book.
Like, I love the people in it. Every time it's on, it's like 3 minutes, and I'm like, Restless syndrome, and just can't sit and watch it.
Yeah. Tears. Well,
yeah.
Y'all,
see, I don't need to be emotional.
I'm going
to
do this. Oh, I do.
I have enough of that every day.
I'm going to do this part all by myself. Y'all just stay out of it.
By myself.
I will say that Jesse Green sort of joined you. So let me just say before I do that that the Did They Like It aggregator had 10 reviews. 3 were positive. 2 were negative. 5 were mixed, or as I like to call it, meh.
That's interesting. I because when I did see the way, you know, the palm up, down, the way they do their I was surprised that there wasn't really a lot of no's. I thought this one was going to get crushed.
Oh, I didn't. I thought it was going to do well.
But then I thought it was still going to do well because people love The Notebook so much that they're going to be like, critiquing wise, you're not looking at what we're looking at.
Well, I believe Jesse Green was one of the middle of the road, but when I read this, it isn't that middle of the road, if you ask me. He starts out with at the very beginning of his quote, romantic musicals are as personal as romance itself. What makes you sigh and we may leave the person next to you bored and stony. At The Notebook, I was the person next to you. I know. Oh, my God. It opened last Thursday at the Gerald Schoenfeld, who I've met, by the way.
Wow.
Whoops, I dropped a name. Directed by Michael Greif and Sheil Williams. And we're going to talk about Sheil Williams in just a little while, by the way.
Inside scoop.
The book was written by Becca Brunstetter.
They shifted
the period by 2 years. This for people that don't know The Notebook, it all takes place over a period of time. And the male character in the show was in World War II. Well, they shifted it to be in Vietnam instead. Not that really matters.
Huh.
But they did something interesting. As is done these days, the characters are played by 3 actors at different ages.
Oh, cool.
And they did this without respect to race. Now, I may have this mixed up. The male character is played by 2 black actors and a white actor, and the female character is played by 1 black actor and 2 white actors. And race doesn't really call into effect. Interestingly, this is anecdotally on Broadway radio, the Today on Broadway, which I listen to, Grace Aki, who's one of the hosts there, was sitting watching the show, and when a black actor playing one of the roles showed up, the woman next to her, a white female, threw up her arms and got very angry.
Really?
Yes, I know. And then she said that this person sat on their phone for the rest of the show.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Oh, just really burns me. But I think that's a really brave and very good way to do it. I mean,
yeah,
there's just
like
not race does not come into play in the character.
Well,
so
isn't it all about
thing.
Love? So the
it
lady
is.
Next to her missed the point.
Ain't love. Anyway, Jesse Green really didn't like anything about this. He said,
"No, it's not his jam." I hear him.
He said the music, the relentlessly mid tempo songs, do not. Oh, I don't know what he was saying, but anyway, I didn't like
that term. I don't know,
relentlessly
like,
mid tempo.
Yeah, I said the lyrics are vague and humorless, often building with cliches.
But he's considered a meh on this?
Yeah, which I don't get. It's really
probably because he saw so many like people enjoying themselves, and it wasn't like the worst thing where he left going, fair. Oh my gosh, it was painful. It's just not his story.
Sure.
It's not his
story. No, it's not his story. It's
not
it's history.
His jam. So I don't
funny.
Know.
Anyway. Didn't like it. Let's see what the other folks had to say. Brittany Samuels of Broadway News. Each moment of the show bubbles over with an affecting light shifts. Heartbreaking performances of Ingrid Michaelson's understated yet evocative score and Plunkett's tour de force performance will pry tears from even the driest of ducks. I will say that Marion Plunkett played the older female role, and everybody liked her.
Cool.
Okay. Chris Jones, New York Daily News, said The Notebook also delivers unexpectedly sophisticated theatricality when the requisite supercharging of the tear ducts, notwithstanding the arcly familiar narrative. If you're not thrilled and teary as the strings come in, I can't imagine being your friend. There's the
See,
other.
That's just someone who's addicted to The Notebook. I would not scorn someone if they don't like the exact yeah. same thing I do. Shame on that person.
Right.
That really just
I believe that was
got
just,
my goat.
I believe that was just a writing trope.
I don't care. Anyway, got my goat.
Variety's Frank,
not cool.
Variety's Frank Caruso said, perhaps this intimate small-scale musical will do the same here, but more likely it will land better on tour where the entertainment bar is lower.
Oh, wow.
Oh, God.
That's a little rude, but I know, it
I take
do
that,
well.
I take offense to that.
I take offense to that, too, because
we're in one of those cities.
That it doesn't just, matter. Those are still the people that are coming to New York to visit to support Broadway
exactly.
at the same time. So, like, another annoyed, I'm doing some...
What I love about Nicole Shiro is how open-minded she is.
Yeah, well, I am open-minded. Apparently, those people aren't.
There you go.
So that was The Notebook. We talked about Illinois last week.
I know, and now it's everywhere, and I can't
well,
stop because I love that you're like... OISE.
They are at the Armory right now, and they are doing something that a lot of people are saying is just unheard of, and it is kind of unheard of. But they want to get open on Broadway before the Tony cutoff, which is April 30th. They are coming in cold on Broadway. With no previews. They're
wow.
coming, their first performance is April 24th and their opening
hashtag
is April 24th.
Bold.
I don't think it's bold because here's why I don't think it's bold. They're currently
they're
running at the Armory. They're coming into the St. James, which is a big, huge theater. They're already at a big, huge place.
Yeah.
So they're going to come off. They're going to close there. They're going to rehearse for a couple of weeks. This is a group that's been together. They've already made
you
all the
changes. You would still think there'd be
are.
One or two nights of preview because of the space difference and everything. Yeah, I get
they,
the whole – I would just still think one or two. That's
they,
it.
But let's take in mind what the purpose of a preview is to get it in front of an audience to make changes to it. They're not going to make changes. So
yeah.
they're going to have time that's to true. Rehearse in the theater. They're going to get plenty of run-throughs in
that.
Say
that now,
that space.
But when you move into a new space, sometimes you do have to make changes.
All right. Well,
I'm just saying. I would have given myself that cushion of a day.
All right. Well, I will call them and tell them.
But that's the ADD in me. It's a valid point.
I mean, to be fair, though, there are
ADD.
Lots of shows that during their run have made changes because something needed to be done. So,
touche.
I mean,
thank you for backing me up on that, sir. But I know you weren't backing me up. But I'm going to pretend like it was backing me up. I see
it
both sides.
It doesn't mean they cannot make changes.
Right.
They're
no,
going to have time
I know.
To make changes.
We're potato potatoing it. I'm just being a smarty
anyway,
pants.
I just I don't I, you know this idea of and I, you know back in my day previews were you know 2 weeks tops and now everybody
oh they go on for
they go on
ever.
Forever and pre and it's a week of press stuff. It's like
yeah.
they didn't do that back in my day. And my day was right. We're running out of time as usual. Here's something that you will like.
I like this
Nicole
other stuff.
Shiro, you, I no doubt, read this. Are we ready for the Cheetah Theater?
We are so ready.
What? So there's a petition that's been forming to name a Broadway house after,
Cheetah
Rivera.
Rivera.
Oh, great. Yeah,
Beyond Dessert.
I'm all for it.
All for it.
Sure. Let's take a vote here and see if
no
who
one
says
called
yes.
me
yes.
to be head of yes. that yes. committee okay, because good. I would be very good on that.
Yep.
I'm gonna let the listeners know we all raised our hands.
We did. All right. We have to talk very quickly about Shell Williams. I'm not sure if I am pronouncing that name properly, but she's the very first Black woman to direct a show on Broadway, or, and let's say a musical, in 50 years.
Wow.
Oh, wow. Did you just, because when I saw this, I was like, wait, come on now, that can't be right. And I'm like going nope. through my head, that's just bananas.
50 years, and it was Don't Bother Me, I Can't Cope, directed by Vinette Carroll 50 years ago. Mm. But so not only is she the first black female director on Broadway, she's directing two shows.
I was about to say, and she nice. Went in it to win it. She's like, I will be all yeah. in. Thank you very much.
She's directing The Wiz, and she's co-director with Michael Greif on The Notebook, mm-hmm. which gotcha. We'll be closing soon.
But it may not. It may not. Like, that's Beetlejuice is another have, one yeah. that got all the reviews. The but fans love it. It's a movie. It's a cult. It's a thing.
Yeah.
They brought it back after it moved from. I mean, mm-hmm. you don't know. The Notebook is one of those kind of things. I think it will have a life.
Okay. We're going to have to stop there. There's lots of good stuff. We will be having a jam pack that last week, that week of April 24th. There are, like, often two shows a night opening yeah. on Broadway, which is pretty unheard of, because that's actually one of the rules, is not to open. And a lot of people are saying that, you know, it's gonna do critics. Critics are gonna have problems. But you know what? I don't care about that. Let's listen to The Wiz, shall we?
Let's do it.
This is He is the Wizard. We'll be right back.
I better point you toward The Wiz.
We are back. You are listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa Sheps and Nicole Shiro. We had a lively first 15 or 20 minutes.
Aren't we always
with
lively?
Our friends. And I'm going to reintroduce them now because we're getting ready to talk about why they're here.
Let's do that.
And I for one, want to know why they're here.
I do, too.
Me, too. We
were in the area. This is, they are all representing Jarrett Productions' show, Home I'm Darling. And we have the director, and you have some title with Jarrett Productions,
Managing Director.
I guessed it right, of Jarrett Productions.
Look at you.
Mr. Will Douglas, who now has initial, E? G?
G.
E. Will G. G. Will G.
Gibson.
Can
good
you
guy.
Change it to E?
Gibson. Oh, that's a good one.
Will Gibson Douglas. I yes. love that.
Yeah.
I
that's
like
a
to
fun
drink
name to
Gibson's.
Say.
It is a fun name to say.
Okay.
Yeah.
And Martina Olhauser.
Yes,
hi.
Hello.
And Toby Miner.
Hello, Elia.
Great. Well, this is a play, as we discussed, that is an Olivier Award winner.
Yes.
La La La.
Best new comedy in 2019.
Yeah, it has not played on Broadway, or I don't know if it's had a major production in the United States as of yet.
It's had a few smaller ones across. Definitely the first one in Texas.
I'm going to say it's probably because this thing happened in 2020 when momentum
Maybe.
Was gaining.
Something
Maybe.
Might have happened. So tell us about the show. What's it about?
Home I'm Darling is about a couple who are living just the perfect 1950s life, which starts getting disrupted.
Yeah. They get cracks in the walls.
Cracks
start forming.
That's the non-spoilery version. Do you want the spoilery version?
Well, no. Well, that's up to you. Do you want to spoil it? I happen to know somebody in your production who's the namesake who doesn't like spoilers.
I know.
So we probably shouldn't say anything.
Great.
Well, thank you for being on the show.
Have a good day. Bye, guys.
But I'll just say it's a really great, fun, stylish comedy that also has a great heart, and at the heart of it for me it's a romance. It's two people rediscovering each other, and it's just beautiful.
Lovely. It's a five-hander, is it not?
Six-hander.
That's amazing. And do we have are you two playing the couple?
We are.
Said couple. Martina, tell us about your character.
I play Judy. And
well, I just need to tell the radio audience, you looked over to Will like, did you have permission to say that?
I don't care about spoilers.
Oh, gosh, I don't know how to, I don't know what to say. Well, why don't you answer this? I don't want to spoil anything.
Oh my gosh!
I really
just
don't.
Go ahead and just spoil
you
it.
Gave them
I'm
all
I'm
going to
go ahead and just
on
spoil it because you discover it in the first scene.
Oh, okay, yeah, that's
this is not taking place in the 50s. It is a contemporary couple who have chosen to live their life.
I think they say that. I think that's in the Wikipedia page.
Probably is.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So that the couple has decided to leave it to Beaver.
All in.
Okay.
All the way in. Completely committed to this 50s lifestyle.
Yep. Judy
vacuums in a dress.
Absolutely.
Yep. Yes, of course.
Judy, my hair is got to be just perfect at every moment.
Those were the vacuums that weighed like 45 pounds.
They
too.
Were. 46 Ooh. Pounds, some of them.
So, yeah, it's a lot of fun. Just, you know, taking the journey of rediscovering, you know.
I will say, Martina, this is one of those plays where the lead character, Judy, is on stage every single moment of the thing.
That's a lot.
Every single one.
I hope you have little bottles of water hidden in the cabinets where you can drink water every now and then.
The gin is water.
Okay, go.
Don't spoil the theater tricks.
Oh, sorry.
And Toby, you I'm guessing you play the loving husband that has the martini waiting for him when he comes home from work?
Absolutely. I do. I'm in the game until the game starts to wear on me.
Oh, okay.
And so we see how that goes, what happens.
Well, we're going to hear a little scene, but who was it? Was this decision to do the 50s by consensus, or did one? Or is that a spoiler?
I was wondering that, so thank you for asking that. And I was all like, "What can I ask or not ask?"
Consensus, yeah,
it's consensus. It's, all right,
they both jumped into
it's an interesting thought process.
Well, great, gravy, groovy. So y'all are prepared to do a little scene.
Sure.
Does it need setting up?
This is actually the top of the show, and Judy, being the perfect 50s housewife, has made Johnny's breakfast.
Okay, wonderful. Uh-huh. This is Martina Olhauser and Toby Miner doing a scene from Jarrett Productions' production of Home, I'm Darling.
Have you seen this beautiful day?
Heavenly.
Morning, darling.
Morning. Oh, look at that. Perfect.
You'll enjoy your drive to the office. This lovely sunshine.
Oh, delicious.
You are funny. It's only toast.
You make the best toast. It's perfect. You could get a job at the Ritz just doing the toast in the morning.
Well, then I couldn't cook your breakfast.
No, you're right. Don't do it. I need you here.
What about a chicken?
What about a chicken?
I grow most of our vegetables. What about a chicken, too, for your morning egg? Pottering about, scratching.
Ooh, a sheep grazing the lawn. Save me getting the mower out.
I don't see why not. A goat, maybe.
Oh, and a cow living in the pantry.
Milk on tap.
The smallest farm in the world in Welland Garden City.
One chicken.
Your sweet peas pecked to bits.
Yes. Also, the pantry is quite small.
No, it's the perfect size for the two of us.
Not so good for livestock. No, silly idea. Forget it.
You're always thinking of improvements. I'm a lucky man.
Yes, you are.
Particularly when you wake me up the way you did this morning.
I don't know what you're talking about. Tea?
Are you happy, darling?
Terribly. Aren't you?
Oh, yes, appallingly.
Appallingly? I like appallingly.
It's disgraceful. Shouldn't be allowed. I keep thinking we'll get a letter. Happiness hasn't come off the ration, you know.
A letter from?
The police. Something about public decency.
Like a stiff letter from the bank.
Oh, it has come to our attention, Mr. Martin, that you and Mrs. Martin are offensively happy. We ask that you desist at once. This uxoriousness is quite unacceptable.
Uggs?
Uxoriousness. It means a surfeit of spousal affection. It isn't at all the done thing for a man to be so keen on his own wife.
Then you're an uxor.
No, I think uxor is wife.
Is it?
I think so, Latin.
I'm sure you're right.
So, you're the uxor that I'm all uxorious about.
You're cheerful.
Do you know, I'm so contented, I'm not sure I even care if the promotion doesn't come off.
Oh?
I look around and think, well, what more do I need? My wife, my beautiful finished house. The money would come in handy, but we don't need it, do we? We've got everything.
No, of course.
Asking for more might be greedy, knowing I'm utterly content with what I've got.
Yes, no, that's wonderful, darling. Is it today?
Is what?
Will you find out today?
I don't know. Soon, I think. Now, marmalade or lemon curd?
It's wonderful you're feeling so philosophical about it. Have some marmalade, it's a new batch.
Only don't let it hold you back from making every effort. You've been there the longest. By rights, they should have made you assistant manager some time ago. It's only fair.
You always defend me.
Of course I do. I'm your wife. You deserve that job. Don't miss out by being diffident. Or late?
No, all right. Delicious breakfast, thank you.
I'm so proud of you. Have a good day, darling.
Oh, same to you. Don't buy any chickens.
I promise. Goodbye.
Oh my gosh, what fun.
It's yep. very cheeky.
I wasn't thinking about going to see it, but now I must.
Oh, now you must.
That is great. So... Wonderful job. No, it really sounds like a lot of fun. But of course, I think it's billed as a dark comedy, so...
It's, I don't know if I would say dark. It's, okay. It dips deep. It
deep. Deepens. A deep comedy. I knew it had a D in
there. I talk
there.
About it more as a dramedy than a comedy.
Yeah, drama. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I would call it... Well, okay. Yeah. I would... Yeah. It's semantics. Mm. I think a dramedy and a dark comedy are the same thing. Look, I've started speaking in English accent.
Dark comedy to me is
something.
What's his name? The Pillow Man, like Martin McDonagh's stuff. Or that's a dark.
More controversial humor, maybe.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, it's a dramedy.
Yeah.
I give in. So
you're just so full of love. Your heart's not dark.
How did this show come to Jarrett Productions?
We were just in our process of reading scripts, and actually, our marketing director and company member Natalie Garcia
never
read
heard
it and brought it to David and I, and we loved it, and we wanted to do it.
Well, amazing. Where does it open? When does it open?
We are playing at Trinity Street Playhouse down at the First Baptist Church on 9th and Trinity, and we open on Friday.
Lovely. And how long do you play?
We play for 3 weeks.
Closing
April 7th.
On the 7th. Amazing. I always tell folks whenever we talk about Trinity, don't let the fact that it's downtown scare you away. There is plenty of parking.
There is.
That should not be the reason to keep you away from there. There's plenty of other reasons to stay away from downtown.
Especially South By, which just happened.
But you are really on fire today. I don't know what to say about you.
Well, nobody does. That's the thing.
Well,
great.
I can say I love you.
Thank you all so much for coming on
yes,
the show.
Thank
shout
you.
Out
thank
the rest of our cast real quick.
Shout out to the cast and tell folks where they can go to get more information.
Great. Just rounding out our cast is Austin legend Bernadette Nason, Tyler Jones, new to us, but not new to town, Webb Berkeley, and a brand new actress to town, Julia Cherison.
Wonderful. A-listers.
Yeah. We got a great cast.
I like that.
Amazing. Well, thank y'all so much. And tell folks where they can go to get more information.
You can get more information at www.jarrettproductions.com.
Excellent. Thank y'all so
thank
much for coming
so
on.
Much.
It was so
thank
much fun.
You.
Appreciate it.
Wonderful. That was Will Douglas, Martina Oldhauser, and Toby Miner of Jarrett Productions' production of Home, I'm Darlene, playing March 21st through April 7th. For more information, jarrettproductions.com. And this song is called Crack in the Wall from Stalker, the musical. We'll be right back.
There was a crack in the wall.
And we are back. You are listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa and Nicole.
Hello.
Hello. That was so much fun. You know,
that was fun.
You know, I joke that I, you know, not all that often when I hear a scene of a show I don't know, am I like intrigued, but this
one intrigued. No, I was totally intrigued. Which is why you saw me, like, I was totally listening to it like I was on the radio, and I'm like, they have pulled me in.
Yep, totally
pulled
intrigued.
Pulled me in, they have.
Yep, I'm all for it. Well, you know what, while we had that little break,
I need to know what the crack in the wall was.
I asked Pink Floyd.
Well, yes, that's another brick.
Whatever, crack, brick, same thing. While we were gone, those folks left, and we were joined. Now, forgive me if I'm mispronouncing your name, but I'm going to give it a try. Sharanya Rao?
Sharanya Rao.
Sharanya Rao. I thought I was going to get the first name right and the last name wrong, and I got it the other way. Welcome.
Thank you for joining us.
Talk a little before we talk about your show. We're going to talk just a little local, and you're welcome to join in the conversation. So locally, we had an interesting thing that I saw online on Now Playing Austin. This is called Overheard on a Train. And it is by a group called Cheerful Secrets. It's playing April 6th through the 25th, and it is on a train.
No way.
It is on a train, and it's called Overheard on a Train. And here's what it just says on their ticket site. So let's say you're on public transit, eavesdropping in a group's conversation. You ever wonder
just
what
it's not really hard these days since everyone's quite loud on a train?
You know, I haven't been on a train since 1937, so I don't know. You ever wonder what it would like to live that life, to dip into the daily drama? Well, now's your chance. So evidently, that you go on the train from Leander to downtown. You can see the route. And I believe they hand you a script. You bring three friends, which is required. So one of the things is they ask questions if this is right for you. It says, do you have three friends? I'd have to say no. But you come in as a group. You're handed a script, and you actually do a table read on the train while you're driving downtown.
But that's how do you get? Fun. It sounds fun, but it just seems so far away. Like, how do you get back to your car? So you have to ride the train.
Well, I guess
all the
you ride
back?
The train back. I don't know that. I don't know, but you could
or do
probably
you have to go from downtown to ride the train up to go back. The
I'm
other
guessing
way?
You go back and forth.
Well, then you'll go back.
So it's I see. So you do Act One, go in one direction, and Act Two, go in the other direction.
There we go.
That answers your question right there.
It's a very comfortable ride. I've been on it.
It is, but considering that more people live in Austin than Leander, they're going to still have to drive to get to all get, the way to Leander to go all the way back to go back.
Yeah.
But you would have thought they did it the other way because you could promote the public transit system at the same
they
time.
Might, it,
not really well, thinking.
It may go the other way. I just the map I showed you is north to south.
I think it's a great idea.
It could very well start downtown.
I don't know.
I'm
very confused
by
it.
I'm going to read. You know, you start downtown.
Okay. Now that makes so much more sense.
And you don't go all the way, evidently. You go to Crestview.
Oh, well, I mean, you should. No, that's not far at all.
Okay. So now do you feel better?
I do.
Okay,
good. I just couldn't understand the whole, I'm like, you're defeating the purpose of public transportation.
Here's the deal. I just know a little bit. So if you want to get more information, you would go to cheerfulsecrets.com, and it would all be there. If you want to find out more, but
well,
it seems interesting.
I may check it out. I think it's a cool idea.
It seems interesting. So
it does.
Okay, I just turned my headphone volume down, and all of a sudden,
everybody
just
turned yourself way up.
Yep. Okay, here's the other things that are playing at Ground Floor Theater. I should mention this as well because we did not have them on the show. Opening up or not opening? It's just this Friday and Saturday. Lola, which is local opera, local artists are doing Un Cuento de Luces y Sombras. Which means A Tale of Light and Shadows. And it's an opera. I've seen little bits and pieces of it. They've
been
rehearsing
in the theater.
Have you been
enjoying
it? It looks really, really nice.
Sounds fascinating.
It plays the 22nd and 23rd. I'm going to say Lola.org, but why don't you just you can Google. Lola, local opera, local artist, and you can find it, or you can find it on Austin ATXTheater.org. We are going to hear more about this, but Anklets in the Boardroom by Leela on the 29th of this month and the 20th of next month. And this is something else I could have played in Frogs.
I know.
The Year of Frog and Toad, Zach, is still playing through April 14th.
So it's World Frog Day.
We had them on the show last week, and I still can't remember how to pronounce the name. So dancing at Lunasa.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You got it like Luna, light, Luna, Lunasa. Moon.
Okay. Playing through the 31st. Wicked is still here, also through the 31st. We talked to them last week. Latino Comedy Project, their 25th anniversary through the end of this weekend. Bridging with Mother at the Vortex, also through this weekend. We just spoke to Home Mom Darling. And then, of course, we talked about this. Inspired Minds in Buda has got the 24-hour play festival on the 23rd.
Way cool.
Whew. Did I miss anything?
No.
You usually fix me when I...
No, I think you got it all right now.
Here's a problem.
You don't know what happened today in theater history?
No, now I do. It disappeared off my... My iPad.
Because I knew you were about to give us.
Oh, I should say this. You sent this to me, and I didn't write it in here. But Georgetown High School is going to be the first one in Texas to perform the Harry Potter show.
Isn't that cool? So they did similar to how Disney does for rights.
This is the Harry Potter and the Cursed Child, and 29 schools across the nation were given rights, and the only one in Texas is Georgetown.
And bananas, right?
Yeah.
Bananas. It was a neat story how the students and the staff, like what they did to get into yeah. it and do it all.
They won the rights through a contest called Wands at the Ready.
Mm-hmm. Very similar to how Disney did the rights for the first schools to get Frozen.
I'm just going to say yes.
Do that. But yeah, I think it's really great because a lot of these people can't afford to be buying the rights and doing all these things. And it gives them something before the actual producing houses. Yeah. It's kind of cool. Yeah.
Okay, we got to rush and do this because we're going to run out of time. Today in theater history, Aladdin opened in 2014. Speaking of Disney.
You'll never have a friend like me.
M. Butterfly in 1988.
Oh, is that the one you worked on?
I didn't work on it. I tell the story. My friend Sarah Miles was a dancer in the Tonys, and
this
asked
is the Malkovich
and
one,
John.
Right?
No, it was John Lithgow.
Lithgow one,
and asked
right.
John Lithgow if he had ever seen the show, and he of course was in it.
Yeah.
Priscilla, Queen of the Desert, opened in 2011.
Wow, that seems long. It seems further older than that. Been, really?
I think so too. That's not a. They don't say whether it's a revival or not.
No,
but
that's
there's
it.
Not been a revival.
Yeah, no.
Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf? A revival
that's
in 2005.
Yeah.
And Play On, which is another like noises off kind of show, opened in 97.
Interesting.
Birthdays: Holly Hunter.
Ooh, I like her.
Me She's too. Awesome. Carl Reiner.
Oh.
Henrik Ibsen.
Oh,
speaking
you
of,
were just speaking wow. about him
yeah,
earlier.
Didn't even. I forgot that it was a birthday, and I always mispronounce this person's name, Chip Zine, which I call Chip Zin.
I thought it was Chip Zine.
Zine. I don't know. I mispronounce his name.
I don't know, but Chip's a old school Candor and Ebb guy.
Yep, and he's a he's just like his father.
Anybody?
Chip off the old block. Dun dun dun. And also the birthday of Hal Linden. And speaking of Hal Linden, this is from the Rothschilds. And this is called In My Own Lifetime, sung by Hal Linden.
By Hal Linden.
Be right back.
I haven't heard that name in a while.
Everything changes.
Okay, that was not Hal Linden.
No, I didn't say
that.
That
was
like
the
Hal
Everything's
Linden.
Changes again. Let me see if I can cue that up. No, you know what? I didn't get it. We're going to listen to Everything Change. No, we're not. We're going to listen to...
Your phone ring.
Crack in the Wall.
Frack in the Wall.
At the time it felt so
and we are back. You are listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa and Nicole. And we are fortunate enough to be joined by Sharanya Rao of Leela. Is it Leela or Leela Theater?
Leela and Indian Community Theater. That's
Leela,
the full title.
Leela and Indian Community Theater.
Yeah.
Well, awesome. And you've got this show, Anklets in the Boardroom, which is interactive. And so I'd love to hear about this show. And you are, I should say, that you are the artistic director of Leela.
That's correct. That's correct.
Wonderful.
Yeah. So Anklets in the Boardroom is actually Leela's project. And it amplifies South Asian women's voices about their experiences of discrimination in the workplace. So it's actually a project, and in the first half of the project last year, we had collected stories from the community through facilitated story circles. And this year, we're enacting them. And we're going to invite the audience to participate as agents of change and make the change that they see fit.
And are all the
That's cool.
are the stories all, is it just generally women who have faced discrimination or Asian women?
South Asian women.
South Asian women.
Yeah. Okay. South Asian women.
Amazing. And how did you, tell us about the process. I mean, you told us that it was a series of community gatherings, but how many did you do? What are some of the insights that you got from those? That sounds amazing.
Yeah, you know, I'll give you a little bit of background. The inspiration for this was really from the book, The First, The Few, The Only by Deepa Purushottaman. And she collected stories, including her own, about how she felt as a woman of color in the workplace, in the corporate world. And when I read those stories, I just connected with it so deeply because I could see the threads, right? I could see the commonality. And in that book, she talks about also how to navigate power in the workplace for women of color. And one of the things she talks about is how, you know, through ancient times, women have always gathered in circles to lean on each other for support, for wisdom. And then it struck me that, you know, what if we could create story circles as safe spaces for women to come and share their stories, right? I think a lot of the time these stories don't have a voice because, you know, fear of shame, fear of judgment, It's not an easy topic, you know, over dinner. No. Often these stories don't get shared at all. So the idea was to create the story circles as safe spaces, collect the stories, anonymize them, and then showcase them.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And the showcases are what's happening on the 29th and April 30th.
That's correct.
And tell us about the showcase. It's billed as an interactive
yes.
piece. So how tell us about how it's going to run.
Yeah. So it's based on Augusta Bowles' work of Theater of the Oppressed. It's going to be in forum theater style. So we'll first show the scene of the oppression. And then in the next round, we're going to...
As a performance.
Uh-huh. That's right. And then in the next round, we'll ask the audience to come in and to call stop, right? And really to come in and change something. They could redirect the actor. They could take the place of the actor. They could add a character. You know, we're going to outline what those rules of intervention
are. So you're utilizing improv games for the audience.
I was just about to say, that's kind of taking all the rules or things you know and flipping it.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's amazing, and this is done at the PBS studios.
That's correct.
And is the audience going to be? Is it a circle? How is the audience going to be situated?
So it's a semicircle. We're going to create several rows of semicircle, and you know we're getting the community room, which is perfect. We want it to be more intimate, so there are limited seats because we want people to We want to first create the container, and then invite people to come in and. You know, and to really step into what power feels like. I think, you know, this interaction is really important. One, because people feel the somatics of power.
Sure.
If you really think about it, you know, in an oppressed community, if they've never experienced power, intellectually you can know what it is, but when it comes to stepping into it, there's hesitation, right? Because you don't have any muscle memory. And so this process creates kind of like an experiment, right? A little lab for people to try out different things and to see, like, what might it sound like if I said that?
Oh, amazing.
Yeah, well,
that's cool.
Yeah.
Are there multiple, are you working with multiple stories or have you taken all the, okay, well, that answers my question.
Seven stories.
Yeah. How many, same group of performers are working on seven?
Well, we have a cast of seven people. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they'll, in the first scene, all of them are involved. And then, you know, we just have different actors for every scene. Yeah.
That is amazing and wonderful. And Leela is a relatively new theater company.
Well, you know, it's interesting. We are a sponsored project of the Austin Creative Alliance. We've been around for a while. We actually started in 2012.
Oh.
And, you know, we did our first production. And then...
You worked with Lucky Chaos.
That's right.
Yes.
We've worked with them for our first production, Pants and Perceptions. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for a period of time, our bandwidth was low. We all became parents at the same time, the team. Right. And so our creativity was kind of, you know, confined to our kids.
Still creating.
Right.
Yeah.
Still creating.
Absolutely. 100%.
Right. And so in the last couple of years, you know, we've reactivated the group. And so we had a production last year, The Uninvited Guest at Frontera Fest. And then we started working on Anklets in the Boardroom. And then we have plans for more programs this year.
Wonderful.
Oh, that's awesome.
So we're back.
That is great. Good. We're happy to have you back. And back to Anklets in the Boardroom.
Yeah.
Is this... I'm assuming that I'm not going to want to bring my kids to this.
Yes, this is not kid friendly.
Right. So who wants to come see this? Is anybody that's not a kid?
Yes. I mean, I think the themes will really resonate with a lot of South Asian women, obviously. Mm-hmm. They are the protagonists in the scenes. But what I'm hoping is for the whole community to come because it really takes partnership. It takes partnership with people of color, with white folks, with, you know, people across the community.
Sure.
Right?
Well, in our last minute, I'm curious, you're doing one this month and one a month later.
Yeah.
Why the separation?
Yeah. Well, you know, it was really
a good question, Lisa. Okay. Shucks.
We're hard-hitting journalists here.
Right. Yeah. Well, it's really a question of when the space was available.
Oh, okay. So, well, good. Well,
yeah.
That's a good enough reason as any.
Yeah.
I might have made something else up.
I also think when you do it, that's up for two. There's a lot you mull on in different perspectives.
Yeah, I'm assuming you might make some changes based on what you learn.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think people who attend both shows, you know, will have a different experience.
It sounds like it, no matter what, with all the different contents.
It's a co-creation
audience
process.
Being part of it.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
So where can folks go to get more information about this?
They can visit LeelaTheatre.org, that is LeelaTheatre.org.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for
coming on the show. Thank you for having me.
And once again, Anklets in the Boardroom is on March 29th and April 30th, and you can get more information at LeelaTheatre.org. And we're going to go out listening to Waitress, and Everything Changes. We'll be right back.
Everything changes.
We are back. You are still listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa and Nicole. That was a wonderful, wonderful show.
It was a good show.
Yeah. I had a good time. And that, the Anklets in the Boardroom seems just amazing.
I just love, there's so many different facets of it that I really
powerful.
I get to hear it unpack it. And,
powerful. And then just, you know, the discrimination of women is tough enough. And then when you add women of color to that, it's just going to be that much more impactful.
And to have, it's another one. Like we were talking about in the train, having the audience is part of the process, but using real stories and different. I just think there's so many great elements and things about it.
And I hope they get a really wide variety of audience members.
I do too.
I do as well. Well, good. Well, we've finished up the hour once again.
One more hour done.
Yeah, it was so much fun. There's so much happening in New York these days.
It's so much happening here.
Crazy and crazy.
It's ramping up here, too, for a whole bunch of openings. Our opening section is going to start being crazy.
It's going to be crazy. But anyway,
crazy good.
Oh, my God. I misread the clock. We've got to go right now.
All right.
We're standing by for the Austin Cooperative Hour. This time it's Racism on the Levels with Stacey Frazier. And then from the very newly released, and only this one song is released from The Notebook, is we have Leave the Light On. We'll see you next week when we look at what's happening offstage and on the air. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
I'll leave the light on, turn down the bed.